So before we talk vaccines, let's check in on trends. We're not seeing spikes so much, more stable with bumps up. I see we have one county in the red critical zone again on the county alert map. That's Edgecombe in the eastern part of the state.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're starting to see hospitalizations tick up. We had gotten down below 1,000 and it was like, woohoo, we're below 1,000. And now we're 1,050, más o menos. It's ticking back up, right? And there's about 250 people in ICUs. The thing that's different, you know, substantially different, is the level of death is way down. It's like 6, 8, 10 people a day. So we're down much, much lower. What that tells us, and you can see it in the stats, is that the people who are getting sick now are younger. They're ostensibly healthier, so they're more likely to survive. But there are still people who are getting sick enough to end up in the hospital.
Right. And is that going to continue, go up? I'm thinking with solid numbers of people over 65 being vaccinated, and now vaccines are open to everyone, but it doesn't feel like the younger set is scrambling as much.
It was interesting. I was listening to an interview this morning with an epidemiologist, a biostatistician from Florida, a woman by the way of Natalie Dean, who's a great follow on Twitter, by the way. And she was talking about, like, there are so many fudge factors when you figure out, like, where's the pandemic going? Factor in vaccinations. You can factor in all the people who've gotten the disease and so have some immunity. We don't know what kind of immunity they have because we haven't really had a long time to study it. You can factor in weather, like, oh, hey, we can get outside now. Maybe part of the reason why Michigan is really surging is because it's still snowy up there, so people can't get outside. All of these fudge factors that you have to put into any statistical model of what's going to happen. You know, is this a fourth wave or not? You know, so there's all of these confounders now that make it really, really, really hard to predict what's going to happen next.
Yeah, it's a brain scrambler. And it gets into my next question about the potential impact of one of those factors, which is this week's headline story, federal officials pushing the pause button on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine after rare cases of blood clots were reported.
Pretty much every public health person I know said, ugh. Because they all get it. The messaging on the public health folks has been very clear, very consistent. This pause should give people reassurance that there is scrupulous attention being paid to how well these vaccines are performing and any type of side effects that they may be producing. The flip side of that is how many people are going to go like, oh, well, you know, like it's, I mean, it's, yeah, that is exactly what I'm writing about for early next week. I think we're seeing peak vaccination rates right around now. We're right at around 45% now. So I think those early, eager, willing, we're starting to exhaust them. And now we're going to be moving into more contentious populations, you know, vaccinating children, vaccinating teens, people worrying about that. I had one local health director say, you know, 50%, yeah, we're going to get that. And then the next 20% is going to be really hard. And the last 30% is going to be like hand-to-hand combat.
You know, this is a big reminder that the scientific process is always in progress. We just don't pay that much attention to it.
What people don't understand is that there's post-release studies. I mean, Vioxx, think about Vioxx, right? They did big clinical trials, but we only found the problems with Vioxx and Celebrex after it was released to the public. Or let's talk about hormone replacement therapy. So these were all things that we found out the data once they were released to the public, right? So you study 30,000 people, you're going to find a lot of stuff. When you've got 6 million people, you're going to find other stuff. Like literally this blood clot thing, if it was a 1 in a million incidence, then that 1 in a million incidence is not going to show up in a study sample size of 30,000.